Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, feel free to turn there. If not, that's okay. You can listen. This wonderful, beautiful story. Start in verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." And it came about, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard, seen, just as it had been told them. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, here we are 2,000 years after this wonderful event, the birth of incarnate Son of God, our Savior, Christ the Lord. And Lord, it is fitting that we gather together to remember this wonderful event when heaven burst at the seams and the heavenly armies had to appear to shout glory to God. Oh, Father, we're unworthy of such wonderful grace, and yet you have provided it, salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, simply tonight we would pray for this, that if there's one here who doesn't know the peace that is found in Christ, that they would not leave here tonight without knowing that wonderful peace that you promise. And Lord, we offer you all our praise and worship in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a wonderful passage of scripture, isn't it? There's so much here, but I don't want to take too much time. I just want to call your attention to something very strange, which I find very strange in this passage. I think if we don't get the strangeness and wonder of this event, we're going to miss a wonderful and strange opportunity tonight. Namely, the value and the precious gift it is to worship God. That's what I want to focus on. That's what I would love. I'm praying to God that you would leave here with an awe in your heart that you, as an individual, have the opportunity to do what the shepherds did, to worship God, to worship Jesus Christ. That's simply it. As we get to that, though, I want to give you some info If you look at verse 13 and 14, where suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts. Some of you may know that word host is army. This was God's army that came. Now, if you've ever studied angels, you know that they don't multiply. Angels don't have babies. Did you guys know that? They don't have babies and they don't die. If you're an angel and you sin, there's no redemption for you. You live forever, but your doom is the lake of fire. Angels don't have babies and they never die. So this army that appeared, they were the righteous angels, and they were God's battle-hardened troops. These angels had existed from the beginning of creation. These angels had seen all of human history. In fact, while their abode is in heaven, they regularly go back and forth from heaven to earth, back to heaven and back to earth. We're only allowed to notice them if God gives permission, which doesn't happen very often. This is one of those cases where God actually gave permission for a few shepherds to see them. But while we are unaware of the angels, guess what? The angels pay close attention to almost everything we do. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, when one sinner repents, who rejoices? All the angels. How do the angels know when one sinner repents? How do they know who's a sinner? The angels have a great news reporting system. Okay, it makes our pathetic news reporting a shame, but that's a different topic. The angels know what's going on. They pay close attention. So moreover, in this passage are called angels, which means messengers, but they're also called hosts, which, as I mentioned, means army. In fact, not only have they seen all of human history, but they're alive right now. They're able to know what's going on in the world right now. In fact, if some of you repent, these are the angels that are going to rejoice. In fact, since they don't die, when we go to heaven, you'll get to meet them. Won't that be fun? They've been an eyewitness to human history. You'll get to talk with them. In the book of Revelation, it says you'll get to sing with them. The singing tonight is glorious, isn't it? Thank you, Eric. Thank you, musicians. And thank you all. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It thrills us. But in heaven, it'll be even better. And we'll get to sing with these guys right here. So that's wonderful, maybe a little strange, awe-inspiring. But here's my question. Why did they appear to the shepherds? That's weird. What, this big production, heaven as it were, splits open. God's heavenly armies appear on earth in the sky above the earth, singing glory to God in the highest. And they appeared to a few shepherds. What's with that? Now, I want you to notice that the scripture I read mentions it's shepherds of one flock. Not flocks, one flock. Some of you may wonder, as I did, what were those shepherds doing out there on a cold winter night? Now, in Idaho, you wouldn't do this, right? There's not much pasture. There's not much grass in the pasture to take your sheep out there. Probably want to keep them safe, give them some hay. In this region, it was different. The late fall rains and the early winter rains caused grass to sprout. It's a great time to take your sheep out onto the hills so they can get some of that fresh grass. And of course, while they're far from town, they're going to huddle their sheep together and they'll keep watch over them. That's what these guys were doing. These shepherds are regular people just like you and me. They didn't do anything special to deserve this wonderful blessing, but they got it. But why? Well, here's what I've discovered, and I hope you guys study it as well. What I've discovered is we don't think like God thinks. In other words, if it was us and we had this level of production, I mean, think about it. You've got multitude of heavenly armies going to appear on earth. Wouldn't you like want them to appear over the Super Bowl or over a giant city? Wouldn't you? God had them to appear over, I don't know, three shepherds, four, five. God doesn't think like we think. The purpose is clear. Why did the angels appear to these shepherds? Because God wanted the shepherds to go where? To Bethlehem and do what? Worship Jesus. That's what God wanted. He wanted a little handful of regular, normal, ordinary guys to go worship Jesus. We think this is like a one-time event, but it's not. We don't see the angels. We don't know what they're doing. I tell you what, they're active. And if one of you will repent tonight, if one of you will change your mind about who Christ is and what he did and how he really needs to be Lord of your heart, one of you, guess what these angels are going to be doing tonight? Singing hallelujahs before the throne, right? Do not, please, do not underestimate the privilege and value of your worship to the Lord. If Jesus desired the worship of these little shepherds, let me tell you, Jesus desires your worship, my worship. That is a precious thing. Okay. But we got to look at the message of these angels, because that's really strange. It's right there in verse 14. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among people with whom he is pleased." Now, that is very strange, and here's why. We've been studying the book of Matthew, and some of us remember what Jesus said about bringing peace to the earth. Do you remember? Jesus said, Matthew 10:34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." The angels say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace." Jesus said later, "Do not think I came to bring peace on the earth." Wow, that sounds like an exact contradiction. I looked up those words, peace on earth, in the Greek. They're the same in both passages. Same word for peace, same word for on, same word for earth. So we need to solve this before we move on. You need to understand this or you won't get the lesson. When Jesus said, "Don't think that I came to bring peace on the earth," he said, "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." And after that, he said, "For I came to turn a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be the members of his household." Whoa, what's going on with that? In the other passage, in Luke, the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom," what? "He is pleased." God is pleased. The context is different. Here's the answer. What the angels were talking about was peace with God. What Jesus was talking about was he didn't come to establish peace between people. You guys following me? What is peace? It's the absence of conflict. It's the absence of hostility. It's a wonderful thing. Jesus came so that the hostility between us and God would be eliminated. That's the peace he was talking about. Jesus was not talking about hostility between people or between governments. We could spend a lot of time on that, couldn't we? Why? Because that's why we see conflict today. Now, someday the Bible promises Jesus will come back and all conflict will be eliminated. Indeed, he is the Prince of Peace. So what is the hostility that he came to eliminate? Now, I hope you don't tune out, please. What is the hostility that Jesus came to eliminate? It's the hostility between you and God. The hostility that is in your heart. Listen to what the scripture says. Jesus said in John 14:27, if I can find it in my notes, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor fearful." The peace that Jesus gives is to a humble heart. That's why he came, to bring peace. How does he do that? Do you know how? Listen to this, Hebrews 11:6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. What did the angel say? Peace among men with whom he is pleased. Is God pleased with everybody? No. God is only pleased when we come to him with faith. Listen to Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 1. "Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The peace that God came to give is in your heart. You see, the peace of God comes not by groups. The peace of God comes one at a time. To individuals, one at a time. Are you more or less precious than another individual? Think about it. You're not. You are precious. Your soul is precious. God wants you to have peace with him. He wants to eliminate the hostility. Now, how do you know if you're hostile? How do I know if there's hostility in my soul? Let me give you a few symptoms. If my soul is troubled, if my soul has no peace, I'll be self-focused. I will feel guilt. I'll have a lot of doubt. I'll doubt God. I'll doubt myself. I'll doubt others. There'll be anger. There will be fear, often fear, regret, lack of purpose, loneliness, despair, defiance of authority. I could go on. When these troubles are in your soul, it shows a hostility against God. In the book of James, James said, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Tough words, huh? Sometimes we need to be direct with each other. Here's why. Jesus Christ is offering you peace. Jesus Christ wants you to have peace with him. He wants to remove all the hostility, all the selfishness, all the doubt. But here's what you need to do. Surrender to him. Actually, you need to tell God the truth about yourself. Tell him the truth that you've lived for yourself more than you've actually been interested in others or in him. Admit to him that you've made a mess of your life and ask him for help. Believe God when he says that Christ, the words we've been singing, Christ died in your place on the cross. Thank him for forgiving all your sins. Thank him for taking the punishment you deserved. And ask him to make you the kind of person he wants you to be. Ask him to change you. Tell him you can't do it yourself. And worship him. Admit his incomparable value. You see, here's the strange opportunity that we have. To refuse to admit that angel celebration and peace that comes is something that happened 2,000 years ago. When we know angel celebrations happen all the time. When one sinner repents. That could be you. That could be you. What's holding you back? What is holding you back from embracing the love of God in Christ? And I say to you, don't hold back. Tell yourself the truth. Better, tell God the truth about what's going on inside of you. And admit his love for you, just like we've been singing. And here's what's going to happen. You are going to experience the peace of God. One more verse. This is from Romans chapter 8. Paul writes, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." And what Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Rest, that sounds like peace, doesn't it? That's exactly right. And for those of you who know that peace and have enjoyed that peace and love that peace in Christ, I only have one more request. Would you please worship him? If God can send a multitude of heavenly hosts to motivate a few shepherds to go worship Jesus, then your worship is worth more than you can possibly imagine. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But guess what? With faith, can you please God? Oh, yes. Your worship is a beautiful expression of love and adoration. Oh, come, let us adore him, our marvelous Lord. God bless you guys.